On to the next case, United States versus the Sense Myers. Mr. Brinson.
Your Honors, may it please the Court, my name is John Brinson, representing Neil E. Sensmeyer. Mr. Sensmeyer pleaded guilty to mail fraud and was sentenced to 6 months executed, 3 months, 3 years supervised release in order to pay $84,694 in restitution. On appeal, he argues that the court erred in the restitution order. He also argues that there was an error in the amount of intended loss and calculation of the intended loss for sentencing guideline purposes, but he served it 6 months. And so I would like to concentrate on the issue of whether or not the court erred in ordering him to pay full restitution. There's two issues there. One is, should the court have taken into account the fact that Jasper Engine and Transmission received some value when they got these cores and these used parts, and should that have been deducted from the amount of full restitution? And I, with the court's permission, would defer that issue to my co-counsel, who is arguing on behalf of Kevin Sensmeyer, who has the same issue. I would like to concentrate, if I could, on the issue of whether or not the court erred in not apportioning the restitution. There were three defendants in this case, Kevin Sensmeyer, Neil Sensmeyer, and Rebecca Goldman, and the court ordered joint and several restitution for each of them. They're each responsible for the full amount. And the court relied upon, the concept of foreseeability. The court said that because Kevin Sensmeyer's activities, and I think we all agree that Kevin is the most culpable person here, because his activities were foreseeable to the other defendants, that they would all be jointly and severally responsible. And I think that was the wrong way for the judge to approach this. Restitution is governed by two statutes, collectively called the
But let's talk a bit about the role that Neil played, because Neil had a substantial role. He opened the post office boxes, which was critical. He collected parts to submit to Jasper as a legitimate claim, and he processed some of the fraudulent claims.
I think that's what Kevin said. And, of course, we have to take that into account. Neil presented evidence, and the FBI agent testified at the factual basis hearing, the guilty plea hearing, that Neil only got like less than $2,000. He opened six of the 48 mailboxes. And certainly that makes him guilty. And that's why he pled guilty. But the question on restitution is, well, and so there's a conflict there. And the judge said in his summary, and I cited on page 14 of the brief, that there was no evidence in front of the court as to what Neil Sensmeyer received or what he's responsible for. Well, there was evidence. There was evidence on both sides. And I'm not sure what the judge believed or how he came down that. He said there was no evidence as to what Neil received or what he's responsible for.
Does he have a very serious waiver problem?
Your Honor, we raised this question in a memorandum on sentencing, objections to pre-sentence investigation. And in my memorandum, I said that his restitution should be limited to his relevant conduct. And I realize now that that's probably not the best choice of words. But what I was trying to import was that his restitution should be limited to his contribution to the loss. Now, if those words aren't good enough to say it, then that's my fault. I also, at the sentencing hearing, argued that his restitution should be limited to what he got, which was less than $2,000. Now, the government says I waived the argument. I tried to raise it before sentencing. And after the judge imposed sentence, we took an appeal. So, no, as far as Neil Sensmeyer is concerned, I don't believe I waived it. I believe I raised it
for the judge.
Now, if we look at these two statutes, 18 U.S.C. 3663 and 18 U.S.C. 3664, the court's got the authority, has the discretion to impose full restitution on any defendant, joint and several liability. He also has the authority to apportion it according to the economic circumstances of each defendant and according to their contribution to the loss. And I don't think the judge considered that. He said because...
Your time has expired, Mr. Brinson.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Christensen, sorry.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Joanna Christensen, and I represent Kevin Sensmeyer in this matter. And as co-counsel stated, I'll focus on the restitution argument today. The Mandatory Victims Restitution Act clearly states that restitution should be reduced.
Well, don't you have the same waiver problem that Mr. Brinson has?
I believe, Your Honor, that it's not entirely clear. It certainly was not the best preservation of error I've ever seen. There is a clear waiver issue with the first issue, the amount of loss. But if you look at that transaction between counsel and the court, he says that this issue goes more toward restitution. And I think it was his intent at sentencing to argue the restitution issue. I am aware the government has also quoted another passage of the sentencing hearing, which is on page 61 of the sentencing hearing transcript, on page 15 of our appendix, that the government argues is a waiver. And if you read it closely, it isn't clear that it is a waiver. It's clear that counsel wanted to speak to Kevin about how he felt about the recent developments and the amount of money that was lost. But I don't believe it's clear that issue, the restitution issue, was waived. I believe it is clear that Jasper Engine received several cores with significant value in return for the money that they gave to Kevin Sensmeyer. I believe that the court must be cognizant of the fact that this was a legitimate practice to a certain extent, selling cores back to Jasper Engine and receiving something in return for them. And we're not disputing the fact that it's been turned into a non-legitimate when he started opening mailboxes and using false names, but Jasper Engine was getting something in return that they in fact could rehabilitate and rework and resell, and got a considerable amount of money for each engine core. I believe that there's some evidence in the record that may have been worth anywhere between $17,000 and $32,000. It's a little unclear, but the district court must determine the restitution that is owed to the victim, commiserate with the victim's actual damages. Jasper Engine wasn't damaged to the amount that restitution was ordered in this case. Unless the court has any further questions.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Christensen. Mr. Warden?
May it please the court, good morning. My name is James Warden. I represent the government here today, as I did before the district court. The problems that arise in this argument are twofold. The first one, as Judge Posner mentioned, was the waiver, and the waiver is very clear, particularly with respect to Kevin Sensmeyer. Of course, I was present, which counsel was not, but I've cited this in the brief with respect to the restitution issue at page 15 and 16 of the brief, which is from pages 61 to 62 of the sentencing transcript. And what occurred there is that Kevin Sensmeyer consulted with his counsel about whether or not to proceed with this argument. There was a break. They consulted, and then counsel came back and advised the court they did not want to proceed further with this. So that's clearly a waiver. If this court finds that there's not a waiver, however, still the decision of the court was not erroneous. There was today, as there was before the district court, this general assertion that the victim was provided with goods of value by the appellants during the commission of the fraud scheme. But there was absolutely no evidence of that ever presented. The government had given its evidence through both an official from the victim corporation and from the case agent from the FBI about what the loss was to the victim. And that was never disputed other than these bare assertions. And the district judge gave the, at the time, the defendants the opportunity to put on evidence that they had given these cores, as they called it, to Jasper Engine. But they never presented any evidence of that whatsoever. So at that point, it was certainly not an abuse of discretion for the district judge to find that the amount of restitution was the appropriate amount that had been put into evidence without any contradiction. With respect to the argument about apportioning this, again, I think Judge Williams made mention of the fact that the district judge carefully considered that and realized that he had that discretion. And
well, here, as they pointed out, I mean, you agree that there were, he only opened 6 of the 48 boxes, he only got $2,000. Do you agree with that?
He only opened 6 of the boxes. We're not certain about, we can't...
The amount that he received, you can't dispute that.
We can't dispute that. We don't know, because there's also testimony from his brother, the co-defendant, that they split money. He only cashed the amount of checks he could prove he actually negotiated with that amount, Your Honor. But how much money he really got, we don't know.
So if it was just the $2,000, though, knowing what the record is now, wasn't that a little disproportionate to have joint and several?
The government doesn't think so, Your Honor. And the reason is because this can be analyzed not only from how much money he obtained personally, but what his role was in causing the loss. Mr. Brinson made a mistake when he said something to the court that's really critical here, and that is he said his client pled guilty to mail fraud. That's not true. He pled guilty to conspiracy to commit mail fraud. And there was a conspiracy over this long time period with lots of different steps by that defendant and his co-defendants. And he opened, as Your Honor said, the very first box. And he was, in the record he says, I was in it from the beginning. Judge Young found that he was a significant player, if you will, throughout. And the fact that he participated fully throughout, the fact that he only got a few thousand dollars isn't the point. He caused the harm to a great degree, and certainly enough to a great degree, that it was not an abuse of discretion for the district judge to decide, I'm going to find him jointly and severally liable for this amount of restitution. So, the record supported the judge's finding. It was not an abuse of discretion. And the judge carefully considered his ability to pay the restitution as well. And so with respect to that argument, the appellant should fail. I have nothing further unless the court has any more questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Warden. Ms. Christensen, you have a little bit of time if you want. How much? 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. I did want to point out that there is evidence in the record that Jasper Engine did receive, in fact, actual cores that they could rehabilitate. At the guilty plea hearing, there was testimony on pages 18, 19 regarding the real parts that Jasper Engine received and the fact that they were able to rehabilitate them and then sell them again for their profit.
Well, was some effort made to indicate how many there were and what they were worth? Where did your $17,000 to $32,000 figure come from?
Kevin testified to that at the change of plea hearing. He testified that he estimated that they were worth about that much, and I believe it's an estimation because at that point he wasn't in the business of reselling the cores, so he didn't know exactly how much Jasper Engine had received at that point. I believe that there's additional evidence that may point to the fact that there's more value and more cores that we received. However, that evidence is not fully developed in the record.
Okay, thank you very much. And you're with the defender.
Yes,
so
I am.
Saying you were appointed, Ms. Smith, so we thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both.